Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. I was sitting here thinking about, you know, everybody's talking about how hot it is outside. And, you know, we have air conditioning, right? I mean, we walked in here and we're all comfortable. But I was thinking about, you know, when we go to the Philippines, it's 100 to 110 day and night. And many places we go has no air conditioning. I have this little fan I put on my phone, you know, and I hold it like this. You know, it's, I mean, this, can you imagine? You know what you've been feeling when you walk outside. Can you imagine staying that way for days and nights? You know, one time I got sick and I was kind of afraid to go back the next year, but God's been able to, I mean, God is able, right? But God has kept me since that one time that I got so sick. But I just thank the Lord for the opportunity to go, even though it's not always easy. You know, we have it so easy here in America. You know, we can complain about this heat, but you know what? You don't have to stay in it. None of us do. We don't have to stay in it. But so tonight I was just thinking about things that happen in our lives. You know, about 3 months ago, some big things happened in our lives. And so, you know, you go through a process of figuring out what in the world happened. Anybody ever have something like that happen in your life? Now, how could this happen? You know, and so you go through this process. Okay, it could be also in our bodies. You know, the doctor tells us we have this major thing wrong in our lives. So we have to process it, right? And there's a time of grieving. There's a time of maybe feeling sorry for yourself. Nobody else does that here. And you go through this time of, Lord, you have to do something here. You know, what are you going to do? And then we come to a place of faith. I just keep hearing the word faith today, that we need to begin to stir up our faith. So tonight, I just want to encourage you to stir up your faith and begin to look at it as if it weren't that way. You know, isn't that what faith is? The substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Now, the situation that my husband and I are in, I still don't see an answer, but I believe that he's taking care of it, and I'm going to act like it's already taken care of from this day forward. Amen. Amen? In Jesus' name. If you need healing, begin to proclaim it. Begin to walk in it. Begin to speak out the word of God in your situation, because he can make you victorious. He can heal you. He can heal your broken heart. He can do that. But we have to begin to believe. Okay, we come here to this church. This is a faith church, right? There's a time to stop grieving over our circumstances. There's a time to stop feeling bad and sorry and all that. And it's time to rise up. So today I just want to encourage you, rise up in your situation and begin to proclaim the word of God over yourself and over your situation and over your family. Because my family will be victorious. Amen? My children and my grandchildren will be all that God's called them to be, no matter what. Because I've already given them to him the day they were born. Amen? The word says, raise them up in the way they should go, and they will not depart. And I believe that every one of my children and my grandchildren will be victorious. It might not look like it today, but that's okay. I'm still believing it. I'm still proclaiming it. So today I just hope that I'm raising your faith a little bit. And think about your circumstances. And think about what you're going through. And begin to give it to him. And begin to proclaim your freedom. Begin to proclaim your healing. Begin to proclaim your deliverance. Amen? Hallelujah. Today is the day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Wow, she could just go ahead and preach the message. Hallelujah. We're excited to see you here tonight. I believe it's better than camping, squatting, those nets and having your sweat dripping off of you. And I like to go camping, but hey, we're comfortable here in an air-conditioned room. But more than that, the presence of the Lord that I feel here. And it makes it worth it all to come together corporately to feel God's presence, to be encouraged. And that's what the Word of God is supposed to do for us, right? As we read it, to bring life to us and to cause us to move to the next level and the next place where God can use us in the kingdom. I've entitled this message, To Remember. And Pastor, we have a lot of things that we remember. Some are good, some are bad, some are painful. Some bring smiles to our face and great joy to us. In the scripture, I want to read a scripture verse out of Exodus chapter 2, a couple of verses starting with 23. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and officially people started celebrating, called it Decoration Day back in the 1800s after the Civil War. And they used different times and different seasons, but officially in 1971, the United States voted it in and made it a three-day federal holiday, the last Monday of every May. And so we celebrate. And it's a day to remember and to be thankful to our veterans, who, our men and women who fought for the freedom of this nation. And if you're here tonight, we honor you as a veteran. And thank you so much for picking up that sword or picking up that gun and standing in battle so that we could have freedom in America, freedom of worship, freedom of speech. Hallelujah. Thank you. As we read this scripture, it says, Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage. They cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. After 430 years of bondage and slavery in Egypt under Pharaoh's rule, and they had to work hard as slaves. If you read the story, you know some of the agony that they went through, but after 400 and some years, they finally begin to cry out to God. And God remembered, first of all, he heard their cry, and he remembered the covenant that he had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we'll talk about that covenant in a minute. But war is not a very fun place to be. It's a terrible place. And there's many wars that our nation has gone through. One of those was World War II, and fighting the Nazis. And Shirley and I have been privileged to go to Normandy, France, on Memorial Day. And we stand at that grave, that cemetery, and we see all of those white crosses lined up, over 12,000 crosses that are lined up perfectly straight. And the grass is mowed perfect. And you stand there in awe, and the feeling that you have is just a sense of, wow, these men and women gave their lives. On D-Day, June 6, 1944, in Normandy, and in that beach, Omaha Beach and others, all of that area, over 9,200 men and women died in one day. And you think of that and say, wow, that's horrible, that's terrible. But we remember the sacrifices they made. And I remember one year when we were up there, and we had a group of about 20 of us. We were doing a conference, and we went to visit Normandy and came back into the area of Rouen, which is also close to there. And we had reserved a restaurant. It was a holiday, and they were all closed, but they had opened the restaurant for us. They had called ahead and made a reservation. We got finished eating, and the cook and the waiter came out holding this huge American flag, probably 8-12 feet wide, and about 4 or 5 feet high, and they stood there with tears running down their eyes, and they said, thank you for keeping us free. The price that was paid kept them free. And so we've heard that the French And some of the Europeans don't like the Americans, but that's not necessarily true. As we saw the evidence there, that they appreciated them, how we stood with them and fought for their freedom. Today, as a church, if we have bondage, we begin to cry out. God hears. If there's something going on in your life that you don't like, are you going to live with it, or are you going to cry out? Are you going to cry out to God for help? And I believe tonight that's where we're at. Many times we just get comfortable living the way we've always lived, doing the same thing when we know that it's not what God wants from our life. So we begin to cry out. These people begin to cry out, and God remembered that He had made a promise. He had made a covenant with them. We have painful memories. Some we don't like to think about. Our nation has had many different painful things happen. Too many to remember them all. But in the last years, we think of the Twin Towers and the terrorist attack, tornadoes, floods, shootings, and the list goes on and on. Painful memories, but we also have good memories. Good memories of what God has done. Our nation has recovered from these horrible, terrible times, and we've prospered and we've grown strong. And as the citizens of this nation, you and me, we can work. We have jobs. We can work. We can save money. We can have a good living. We can buy a house, a home, a car, etc. Raise a family. Their children can go to college. We have freedom of speech. We have freedom of religion. Why? We have the best nation in all of the world. We've been around. We've seen a lot of them. There's no place like the USA. It's because men and women stood in the gap and didn't let the enemy take over. Today, spiritually as a church, we celebrate and remember. We celebrate Christmas to remember the birth of Christ. Some people maybe do it for presents. Our kids sometimes, I think, lose the real true meaning of Christmas. Oh, I'm going to get a present. I'm going to get new toys. But the real reason that the church celebrates Christmas is to remember that unto us a Savior was born. Hallelujah. And we remember many other things, especially Easter. And we're, first of all, Good Friday and the beating that Jesus took and the compassion that He showed to us and all of the denials and all of the mocking and everything that went on that Good Friday, how the blood and the water was shed for us. But we remember Easter, the resurrection. We don't have a dead God. We serve a living God. Hallelujah. He's not in the grave. He's alive. Hallelujah. The Bible says, then on Ascension Day that He went up into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and for me. We serve a live, living Savior. Hallelujah. But we remember the birth of the church, Pentecost Sunday, and how those 120 in the upper room were praying and seeking and fasting, and how the Holy Spirit was released and poured, came forth, and how everyone was speaking in tongues. There was an overflow, Pastor. There was an overflow. But they paid the price for that overflow. Are you hearing me? They paid a price for that overflow because they made a commitment to stay and wait for the promise of the Father. And they emptied themselves out. I believe sometimes we just want all the free things and we're not willing to pay the price or make a sacrifice. But the Lord has called us to commit ourselves to Him. And when we do that and He sees that we're serious, there's a change. I think the heavens are opened over us because God says, there's someone I can use. There's someone faithful. There's someone that's willing to go the extra mile. There's someone that's willing to give. There's somebody that's willing to sacrifice. And when we see that, and the Lord sees that, He goes the extra mile for us. Hallelujah. It says He opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing. You say, well, that's for tithing and giving. Yeah, it is, but it's also for the rest of our life. God wants to bless His people. He wants to bless you tonight. Amen? Amen. He wants to bless you tonight. He wants you to have an abundance, to be have more than enough. So we remember these things and the birth of the church. And since that Sunday, not Sunday, I'm sorry, that day when the church was birthed and the Holy Spirit was poured forth, we saw Peter, who was in one in the line there, denying Christ just a few days earlier. Maybe a month earlier. A month and a half earlier. Here he is now, filled with the Holy Spirit, standing up, preaching the gospel. It says around 3,000 souls were saved that day. The church was birthed. And since then, the church has grown and split and been under persecution, been sent to all the nations of the world. We've seen great revivals, and back in the early 1900s, the Zuzu Street Revival, the Pentecostal movement came forth real strong in America. In my lifetime, in the early 70s, the Charismatic Revival, and maybe some of you are here tonight because of that movement, but it went across denominational lines, and many people were filled with the Holy Spirit and found a relationship with Christ. And really, that's what it's all about, is having that relationship with Christ. So we remember these things. There's also some bad memories. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul talks to Timothy, and he says, in the last days, people will fall away. They'll turn their back on the gospel. 2 Timothy 3, 1-6, I'm not going to read it, but you write it down to look at that. Having a form of godliness but denying the power of God. So there's things that we've seen and things that have happened, but memorial is things that are established to commemorate an event or a truth. So in the Bible we see many of these memorials. We have the rainbow. We have the Passover. We have the Lord's Supper. Communion. It says, when you do these things, remember. Do this in remembrance of me. So I've entitled this message, To Remember. And I believe it's time. Sometimes we need to just stop and remember what's taking place, what's going on. And I was asking Shirley about the name of a young man. His name was Jamie. Came to our youth camp many years ago. Came off the streets of Des Moines. He had scars from being cut with knives. His mother had been married 8 times, and none of those men were his father. He lived on the streets of Des Moines, but when he came to camp, God touched him. There was a visitation of the Holy Spirit in his life, and he changed his life. He gave his life to the Lord. We only have camp for 5 days, and when it was time to go home, he says, I don't want to go back home. I can't go back there. I'm not strong enough. I'm going to go right back. I'm afraid I'm going to go right back. I have no one to help me. Can I please come to your home? So Shirley and I took him into our home along with our children. I'm not sure how long he stayed, a couple of months, 6 months. Went to Desert Storm, was in the war there. Heard his shoulder was discharged, medical discharge. Somehow, some way, God got a hold of him. He met this wonderful lady, Christian woman, got married, went to seminary. He's preaching the gospel today. A touch from God. So we remember that God still works the miracles that we need, that there's hope in your situation. Now, we had others that came into our home. We remember. Some of those were rebellious, and when they left, they said, we can't do this. One of those girls ended up in prison, had children, lost her children, because she refused to submit to the power of God. So we have a choice today, and we need to sometimes stop and remember where we were when God touched us. Where did we come from, and where are we today? But really, today, I want to provoke you to say, where are we going from here? So sometimes it's good just to stop and think a little bit about what's taking place in our lives. I want to talk about the covenant for a few moments. But all of these memorials that God established, like the rainbow and and the Passover and the Lord's Supper are to show us his power and to increase our faith. You know, his presence was so strong in all of these things. There were miracles that took place. God moved supernaturally. If you think about the Passover, if you haven't read that recently, you need to read it again. I just finished reading it last week. But the firstborn of every Egyptian was spared. Of every children of Israel. But the firstborn and the firstborn of the cattle and everything of the Egyptians died the same night. But because they put the blood over the doorposts, their firstborn, the children of Israel's firstborn, was spared. And the Lord passed over their home. There was no death. Today, he's wanting to do the same for us. He wants to pass over. And he wants to bring life where there's death situations. So we look at the covenant that he made with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He told Abraham to get out of his country, get away from his family. He said, I have a place I want you to go. And I told the people this morning, I said, beware, that's what the cults do. They say, get away from your family. Let's go to a new place. And they could do that so they can brainwash you. And so there's no influence. But see, God wanted to set Abraham apart and to make him a spiritual leader. He couldn't do that in his home. He couldn't do that in his old country. So he said, I have a new place for you to go. And I believe that because he obeyed, and we see that throughout the Bible, because he obeyed, he took steps of faith. He didn't even know where he was going. He became the father of our faith, Abraham. So let's read this covenant out of verses 2 and 3. He said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Hallelujah. Then we go to Genesis 17, verse 7 and 8. He said, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you, an everlasting covenant. Verse 8, I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And I will be their God. And I will be their God. Hallelujah. This isn't all fulfilled yet today. This prophecy is not completely fulfilled. This covenant hasn't been completely fulfilled. But we know that it will, probably in the millennium. But God always keeps his word. His covenants are sure. His covenants are yes. Amen. We as humans, with our sinful nature, we make a lot of covenants. Well, we use the word, we water it down a little bit, we use the word vow. And we break vows. We keep some and break many. But God keeps his pacto, right? Spanish. Pacto. His covenants. Hallelujah. Remember. To remember. What did God promise Abraham? He said, if you obey me, I'm going to make you a blessed nation, a great nation. We see that today. There's a great nation. A great nation is facing a lot of persecution. That great nation has been pushed back from the boundaries which are rightfully theirs. But someday they'll get it all back. Hallelujah. But God wants to do something in our lives. So we remember that God chose a man to help him. God chose a man to help him, help his people find the fulfillment of the covenant that he made with them. And this land, as God was talking to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, if you read that first part, verse 80 says, the land flowing with milk and honey. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 10 and 11, he talks about what this land is like. He said, as great walled cities, which you did not build. He said, in this land flowing with milk and honey, he said, there's houses completely furnished and stocked waiting for you. There are wells that are already dug producing water. Water is overflowing. He says there's vineyards already producing grapes. There's olive trees already producing olives. And now the Lord spoke to me about what some of these things mean, but the great cities and the walled cities mean authority. He was giving authority to his children. As they would move into this promised land, he was releasing his authority over the nations of the world. The houses already furnished. I was reading a commentary on that. Those houses were built for giants, many of those homes. They had tall ceilings. They had big rooms. But there they were, already furnished with all the furniture, probably food in the cupboards, waiting for the children of Israel. God said, I have prepared a place for your family. Personal. The water always is always a sign of the living water that God wants to release to his people. He wants to give us his living water. Here, the wells are dug, the water's flowing, there's life for you. It signifies life and cleansing. The grapes, the new covenant, the new wine that God has made with us. And the olive oil is always a sign of the Holy Spirit. That oil is always signifies the Holy Spirit. Here God has prepared everything for them, ready for them to move in, if you would say. It's kind of like when you buy a house, right? It usually doesn't have the furniture in it. It usually doesn't have food in the cupboard or in the fridge. But here God was saying, I have a place I want you to go, flowing with milk and honey, and you move in, it's going to be all furnished already, ready for you, for your family to live in, for you to have authority over the nations, hallelujah, for you to be blessed and washed in the water of the living word. Oh, hallelujah. And yet, what do we know? The word tells us they never made it there, that first generation. Deuteronomy 11:12, it says, the land for which the Lord your God cares for, the eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. Because of his love, he was trying to bring them back to the Garden of Eden. He can't go into the Garden of Eden. And I shared this morning, if you read the story of where the Garden of Eden was located, on the one side was the river Euphrates, the promised land. On one side of the promised land was the river Euphrates. God was trying to get his people back as close as he could to that perfect place in their life. And I believe I hear the Lord saying something to us tonight. That's where I want you, church. I want to bring you back to that place where I can talk with you. I can commune with you. We can have a relationship. So today God used a man. Sent his only begotten son, but born as a man from a virgin, to help fulfill his covenant with us. His name is Jesus. And the Bible says that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He uses a man to help his children of Israel, his chosen people, one he's made a covenant with. But they didn't receive him. And today he uses a man, his name is Jesus, and many people are not receiving him. Sometimes we believe the lies of the enemy who says, you've done too much, you've gone too far. How could God ever do anything for you? You're worthless. We hear those words. You've gone, and we feel like curling up. But he loves us. It's through his love and compassion, which is just as great or greater than the covenant that he made with Israel, he makes with us to redeem us today, to bring us into a relationship and fellowship with him. But there's also another couple of words that I really like, and the Bible makes it so clear. It's called grace and mercy. Amen. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. The first generation of the children of Israel never got to live in the promised land. Not because God didn't keep his covenant, but because they refused. They refused to walk in the commandments. They refused to obey the Lord. I believe that God was trying to bring him into a place of rest. And that's what he's doing for us. He was bringing them into a place of rest, a place of blessing, a place of covering, his protection. He wants to do that for the church today. He wants you to live in the blessings. He wants to protect you, put a covering over you. He wants you to be fulfilled in everything. He wants you to have a relationship with him. So he sent his son Jesus so that we could receive him and come into that new covenant. He's made a new covenant with us, right? The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. But you go to chapter 9, verse 10, right? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. With the heart, I got to get back here to my scripture verse. It just left me. I'm sorry. 10 and 9, that if you confess with your mouth, well, I know it by heart. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus has been raised from the dead, you will be saved. Free. Free from that guilt and shame that the devil wants us to live in. If we confess it with our mouth, realize that we're sinners, realize that we made mistakes. I can quote Brother Paul says in Philippians 3:12, he said, I'm not there yet. I haven't attained it all yet. Verse 13, he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt, he meant, I ask God to forgive me. I ask God to clear up my past. He said, I put it under the blood. But he said, there's one thing I do. I press for the mark, for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I see something better up there, and I'm going to give all of my effort to reach that. Regardless what it takes, there's something better. See, that first generation of the children of Israel didn't realize that this was a free gift for them, a promise that God had made. They couldn't catch it. There was so much corruption in their spirit. And they held that, and they didn't release that corruption. They were in bondage. Not only in the natural, but spiritual bondage. And they became that way because of disobedience. Are we in spiritual bondage tonight? I hope not. But if you'll cry out, God will hear your cry. He'll set you free. Hallelujah. You don't have to live that way. God has a better place. See, all of this, he was trying to bring his children into a rest. There's a rest that God has for us. You know, if you talk about the warfare in Ephesians 6:12, you know, we're not fighting flesh and blood, but spiritual demons and principalities and all. They're all over the place. He says, put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against these. And he tells us which pieces of armor to put on. Then he says, pick up the shield of faith. And then when you're all done, stand firm, praying for other believers. So there was a rest. We come into a place of rest knowing that we've done what God has asked us to do. But Hebrews 4, verses 1 and 2 says, let us fear lest a promise being left to us, that we should not attain that. There's a promise that God leaves to us. And we need to be sure that we reach or live in that promise. Because verse 2 says, for the gospel was preached unto us as well as unto them. But they didn't receive that promise. Why? Because they didn't mix the word and their faith together. So it's a faith walk tonight. My wife already talked about it. We walk in faith, knowing that God has spoken, hearing the word of God, and taking steps in obedience. And then God releases his presence. The Holy Spirit comes to lead us. The Holy Spirit comes to give us direction, guide us, comfort us. In all that we walk through, we need a comforter. We need somebody to take our hand. We need somebody to bring revelation. We need the presence of God in our life. And the Holy Spirit is here for that for us. The pain of the past is replaced and healed with His presence. We all have pains, memories that are painful. But God doesn't want us to live back there. He doesn't want us to live in the wilderness. He's prepared a better place. Amen. I share that the reason they lived in the wilderness or stayed in the wilderness, there were miracles taking place in the wilderness. Every day, manna, every day, water, their clothes and shoes, and the things didn't wear out for 40 years. So there were miracles. They saw miracles every day. They lived in the miracle. They had the cloud by day, the fire by night. They lived in the miracles, but that wasn't where God wanted them. Not in the wilderness. He had a better place. There was no rest in the wilderness. People, there's no rest away from God, His presence, His perfect place. And tonight, whatever steps you need to take to find that rest for your life, you may have been walking with the Lord for 20, 30, 50 years, I don't know. But sometimes there's still turmoil. And there's guilt and shame. But God takes away that guilt and shame. We put it under the blood. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. I believe tonight. He was not ashamed of his past. Did you hear me? He was not ashamed of his past. Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because of the healing anointing that was released on his life, when that touch of God came down in his life, all those things dropped off. We need a touch tonight. We need God to touch us tonight. Because without that touch, we're nothing, really. We struggle sometimes. I remember Pastor Stephen said, one second or a couple of seconds with the Lord and the presence of the Lord can do more than praying for 10 years for your needs. So let God touch you tonight. Let just the Holy Spirit move in your life. Hallelujah. God wants to release you from the heaviness and the burdens and the bondage of sin. We all come in because we have a sinful nature. And none of us are perfect. Well, I only see a couple perfect, but no, when we're perfected, the Bible says we'll be going up there with Him, right? Hallelujah. I just want to share something for this young lady right here, Connie. I heard the word echo. And it's like you're standing on a hill and shouting. And the Lord says, what you have given, the good that you have given, the good that you have proclaimed is coming back to you. However that fits into your life, to your family, your children. But I heard the word echo. See, God knows what we need to encourage us. See, there's something that He wants to do in your life. And you're trying. You're really struggling sometimes, but you're trying. You're trying to be faithful and live for the Lord. But there's another level that He wants to bring you into. That when you walk down the road or drive down the road, you can just hear Him speak to you. He wants to open up that communication. Not that you're not trying. He's not scolding you. He's saying, hey, I've got more for you. And this is what you strive for, the release of the past into a new place. Oh, hallelujah. Bless Him, Lord. So many doors that we have to walk through sometimes to get to the place you want. I saw these doors piled up in you guys' lives. It's just like they're old doors. Most of them need painting. Glass is broken out. The Lord says, let them lie. Because I have a new door for you to walk through. And this door that you walk through is going to bring so much joy to you. And the goodness of the Lord is going to shine upon you. It's like the power of the sun that's so strong today in this 100-degree heat. The presence of the Lord is going to be released upon your lives to shine so strong and so bright. that you're going to say, wow, we'll forget about those old doors. They're gone. And God's opening new ones for you to walk in the blessing of the Lord, to walk in His grace, even in a new way. For all of those people who have spoken against you, misused you, said things, done things, all of those things are down under those doors. Don't pick them back up. Hallelujah. Bless them, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. The joy of the Lord. I see the joy of the Lord in this couple. It's like there's a cloud over you like there was in the children of Israel, but the Lord says, I'm sending my glory to continue on with you through the end of your lives. It's like something I've never seen before. It's kind of like when it's so foggy and you can't find your way. That's the presence of God is being released upon your lives. There's issues that have come up time and time again, and the Lord says, I'm covering those things, and they're not going to be seen anymore. So in His presence, there's a release of those things. And I see this, it's like something brand new, like that new car, that when you buy that new car and you open that door and the smell of that newness, and the Lord says, I'm going to take you to that place of the new things. And because you've been faithful, because you've cried out to me, I've heard you. And the Lord says, now I'm going to move you in a new era. It's going to be a great, great relationship with the Lord. I hear Him saying, you have so much more to give. And you think of retiring, you think of sitting still, but the Lord says, you have so much more to give. And there's people like this young man I was talking to over here needs to hear those things that you have to give. So the Lord's going to lift you up and bring a fresh anointing up on your life. Hallelujah. Your lives, Diane and Dwayne together, God's going to use you mightily in the days to come. There's a territory that's been off limits to you. The devil says that's off limits, but that's not true. The Lord says you're going to walk in that territory. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, it's over here. I think this lady here, all dressed up. Hallelujah. The Lord just wants to let you know that He's surrounding you, that you're not alone in this hour, and that there's something great that's being set up for you. I see it almost like a pile of dominoes, but you don't want to use dominoes because they fall over easy. It should be like bricks that are cemented together. The Lord says, I'm building like a foundation around you so that you'll be strong. There's a lot of things that have come to wash you away. But the Lord says, no, I'm going to watch over you, protect you. This is your hour. Remember that this is your time in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Bless Him. Faithfulness is a word that I see on you, brother. You've given, not necessarily so much money, $1,000, but you've given of your time and your talents, and you've allowed your family to be used in this church. The Lord says, now the faithful I will bless, and I will pour out blessings that you don't even know where they come from. Make those van payments, make those payments for your house, do all these things that you don't even know where they're coming from. The Lord says, I'm releasing my anointing upon you, son, so that you can continue to do what I've called you to do. Hallelujah. Bless Him, Lord. Hallelujah. I got to go back here. Excuse me. I think it's this couple right here the Lord just wants to bless tonight. Father, you've opened so many doors in the last couple of months. Now they just need to know that they're doing the right thing. And the Lord says, yes. Continue to press on. Continue to do those things I've called you to do. For I'll be with you to guide you and direct you. I'll give you wisdom, this mind of, Eldon, this mind, the Lord's pouring forth knowledge, pouring knowledge into you. And the Holy Spirit is what makes us wise. And the Lord says, I'm going to release my anointing upon you. and my presence on you for this time and season. Hallelujah. As a couple, you're going to make a difference. You're going forward. Bless you. But you remember, I better get out of the way. But to remember is important, because we've all been a place we don't like to be. And God wants to take us to the place He wants us to be. We do that as we seek His presence. We do that as we realize He uses men and women to fulfill His covenants. Many are conditional. Throughout the Bible, we see conditional covenants. He says, if you do this, I'll do this. And Moses did that. Abraham did that. Many of the patriarchs of the Old Testament heard the word of God, and they moved, and they followed the leading of the Holy Spirit, not knowing. It says Abraham went not knowing where he was going, but he was looking for a city whose maker and foundation was God, right? He was looking for that. He knew where he was supposed to go. And that's what I saw just a minute as I was done up here. All of a sudden I see the floodgates being opened over you two. And the Lord says, I'm going to rewash you. I'm going to bring in a fresh anointing into your lives, because I've called you for this time and this season for my people. And they need to hear what I have for them. So the Lord says, it's kind of like He's opened a floodgate to refill you, to cleanse you, to fill you, and then just to cause a growth to come out in a new way. So get ready for what's going to happen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Pastor, will you come? Let's pray together as He comes. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. I know that He'll dismiss you, or I'll dismiss you, and if you want prayer, we're going to be here. We have the oil, and we have agree with you, with your needs, with your bondages, whatever is going on in your life, we're here to help you through that, Pastor, Shirley and I. I'd love to say we'll pray with you, because there's a rest for you tonight. There's a place of rest for you. Father, we mess up so many times, and then we feel guilty. We have shame because of things that happened in our lives, but that blood that was shed at that cross at Calvary was for us. We accept that forgiving power, that resurrection power. We repent of our sins. We say, help us to reach that rest in our lives, the place where we can hear you talk to us, just like in the Garden of Eden when you talked to Adam and Eve daily. And there was open communication. And this is what you want from us, to be able to hear you, be able to live where you want us to live, to do what you want us to do. So guide and direct us. Give us strength, Lord, to face the enemy and say, you're finished. Give us the strength to speak to the things that should not be there and ask them to be removed in our lives. There's addictions or problems or habits that we have that should not be there. Give us the strength to overcome them. But more than that, Lord, you told Abraham you would make him great, but you would cause him to be a blessing. Help us to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Help us to have that overflow in our lives. We give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor. Great word. Thank you, Pastor John. Wonderful. Amen. Can we give him a hand for God's word? Amen. Thank you. Like you said, we'll dismiss here in just a moment. But if you need some prayer, feel free to come up. They can pray for you this evening and anoint you with oil and pray with you. I was just thinking, okay, so we go to church every week, right? A lot of us. And we come in and we hear God's word. But why is the world not changing, right? I'm not just talking about us. I'm talking about Christians, right? General. And some wisdom that God gave me just recently, that I do a lot in counseling, when I have counseling appointments, I just say, listen, forget what you've done, right? You can remember what you've done, but what matters most is your next decision, your next choice. That's what matters. You're either going to keep going in the same direction you were before, or you're going to go in a new direction. You're going to make a good choice, or you're going to make a bad choice. All life is choices, right? Church, you have a choice as you walk out and into the mission field. What choice do you choose? What do you do with your faith? What do you do with what you remember? And what do you do with your faith? Make a decision. Make a good decision. It doesn't matter what you've done before. It matters what you do next. Amen? Amen. Feel free to go. You want to just flow on the keys for a little bit? You're good with that? Just kind of, y'all can sing, whatever you want to do. Just kind of flow. They're up here to pray for you if you want some prayer. If not, feel free to walk out into the foyer, have some conversations, get your last little bit of air conditioning before you have to go out into the beginning of hell. Just joking. It's not that hot, but it sure feels like it. It's very, very hot. Be careful. Drink lots of water. We love you. We'll hope to see you Wednesday. Glory. Go change the world. Go change the world. Amen.